we begin this hour with today's installment in our presidential election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 17, The Mortgage and the Rent. Both John Kerry and George Bush want to help Americans with low incomes to keep a roof over their heads and help some middle-class people, too. But their campaign webpages and their records reveal fundamental differences in their approaches. President Bush's webpage on the topic leads with the idea of expanding home ownership opportunities. John Kerry's leads with an attack on Bush's proposed cuts to Section 8 rental vouchers. Bush hails rising home prices as an increase in wealth for millions of Americans who own. Kerry sees it more as housing inflation that burdens poor people with higher rent. Helping people to own or to rent are not mutually exclusive ideas, of course, as both candidates would surely say, but in a city like New York, with by far the most Section 8 voucher tenants, lots of public housing projects, and prices to buy that boggle the mind, this is an issue that literally hits home, and where the difference between the candidates matters directly to so many. With me to talk about it are Andrew Cuomo, the former Housing and Urban Development Secretary under President Clinton, and Howard Husick, author of America's Trillion-Dollar Housing Mistake, The Failure of American Housing Policy, published by Ivan R.D. He is also a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thanks to both of you for doing this, and welcome back, both of you, to WNYC.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Hello, Howard. How are you?
I'm well, Andrew. How are you? Good
to hear your voice.
And Andrew Cuomo, in your opinion, has President Bush changed much in the approach to affordable housing that you had during the Clinton administration? And if so, for better or worse?
We're now in the first. Thank you very much for having this discussion on this issue that's so important.
That's out of the way now.
Okay. We're in the political silly season. And you tend to hear a lot of hype and a lot of rhetoric on this. And I did work for Clinton. I am a Democrat, so you would expect me to say the Bush administration has not done what it should do on the issue. With that preface, the facts are, if you just look at the numbers, this administration has rolled back much of the progress that we made during the Clinton years. And I don't even think that this administration is all that much different from past Republican administrations or different than what the president said he was going to do. You know, this is not a case of being disingenuous. He never spoke about housing or urban development issues in his campaign. He never made it a priority. So in many ways, I think he has done what he said he was going to do, which is make housing and urban development less of a priority in this nation.
But what has he done, or if he's just made it less of a priority, how do you think that's affected the country, and particularly New York?
You can look at all the numbers. You can look at all the progress. And what you will see is the president has systematically cut almost every program effort within the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Literally, listen to that, almost every program within the department. You can start with a program called Empowerment Zones, which we had done under President Clinton, which we had continued from Jack Kemp, who talked about Enterprise Zones. It was a fundamental economic development program. That's gone. Homeless programs cut. Senior housing for disabled and older Americans across the country cut. Public housing. We were taking down all the bad public housing projects, a program called HOPE. That's been cut. The assistance to Native Americans, the poorest places in the country are Indian reservations. That's been cut.
Okay.
Housing for people with AIDS. You can go on and on. But
so let me,
every effort within the department.
So let me give it to Howard Husick now, and same question. Has President Bush changed much from Clinton housing policy as you see it, and if so, for the better or worse?
Well, Brian, I'm a housing policy skeptic, and I have to say I wish he had changed a lot more. But what strikes you really is the continuity from administration to administration in the major programs. I really wish there had been more focus on critiquing a lot of these programs. But, for instance, Section 8, which is, as you point out, the lead of candidate Kerry's webpage, you know, in 1998 we were spending $5 billion on Section 8 housing vouchers, which are a big deal in New York. Today, that's $16.9 billion. The administration has proposed to level fund that. That's more than half the $31 billion HUD budget right there. We're spending more now on Section 8 housing vouchers than on temporary assistance to needy families, so-called cash welfare. Now, I'm not a fan of the Section 8 program, but the fact of the matter is the administration has continued to fund it. They have tweaked it in interesting ways, allowing recipients to use some of their voucher money toward a home down payment, which I think is, on balance, a positive move. Another way in which there's a lot of continuity, especially with one of Secretary Cuomo's major initiatives, and that's the affordable housing goals for the secondary mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Secretary Cuomo increased those affordable housing goals from, I think it was 28% up to 45%. That's the amount of housing that Fannie and Freddie should purchase in the mortgage market that is aimed at low and moderate income families. The administration, the Bush administration, has proposed to raise that to 55%. And so that is exactly along the continuity spectrum that I'm talking about. There are initiatives on home ownership which are distinct, I think, although not big, from what had been done in the previous administration, a zero down payment loan program the president announced last week. I'm actually a little skeptical about that, but it is a departure. And then on Hope 6, the former secretary is absolutely correct that the administration has proposed no further funding on it, but $6 billion has been spent to revitalize what was aimed at 10% of all the public housing in the country, the so-called severely distressed public housing. Billions of that remain unspent in the treasuries of local public housing authorities. Lots of those projects are still continuing. It's not like the administration said, give us the money back, we ain't doing this no more.
Let me stay on Section 8 for a minute, and then we'll get into some of the home ownership ownership society agenda with respect to housing. I know that, Dr. Husek, you see Section 8 as one of the last welfare dependency dinosaurs because it's a permanent benefit. So you say it discourages striving to get out of poverty. But your own stats on Section 8 say it has been expanding rapidly since 1998, and you said that here.
Yep.
And it strikes me that that was just after the welfare reform law kicked in. Would that indicate that the loss of direct cash welfare benefits for poor families forced more of them into eligibility for low-income housing vouchers?
I don't think so. I think that was an appropriation that was pushed by housing advocates, and it was really a byproduct of the public housing reforms that were enacted, pushed by former Congressman Lazio, who in exchange for changing some of the rules on public housing and allowing more working families in public housing, which was very important to him when he was on that housing subcommittee in the House,
allowed for an expansion of the number of vouchers.
And he agreed specifically, and this is very important, that 75% would be set aside for those of 30% of median income or lower. So that tended to push those who are getting the vouchers toward the very low income side of the spectrum.
And before I bring Andrew Cuomo back in, what about the president's recent proposed cut to the monthly value of Section 8 vouchers, especially in the Northeast? He rescinded it a week or two ago under pressure, but the administration wanted poor people to pay more to stay in their homes, or if they couldn't afford it, then to downgrade their housing situation.
That's not true that they wanted poor people to pay more. Poor people will pay by law 30% of their income for rent. So it's not true at all that poor households would pay more. What they want to do is reduce the money that's going to landlords in weak rental markets, because they know they've been overpaying. HUD's been taken to the cleaners by landlords, and New York landlords have told me right to my face they get a 15 to 20% premium by renting to Section 8 because HUD's gauging process is not very accurate. They want to get less money into the landlord's pocket, and they're under tremendous budget pressure at the appropriations level. Remember, this is a program that's gone from $5 billion to $16 billion. Now, you may argue that we should spend less on other programs in the federal government, but the actual trade-offs are between Section 8 and other parts of HUD and other programs considered by its committee, and they're under tremendous budget pressure.
So, Andrew Cuomo, why do you think Section 8 funding has exploded in the way that it has since 1998, and what do you think of the recent proposed reductions?
I think the doctor framed the issue well. This administration did not come in with their own vision, their own policy, their own programs, their own approach. There was no positive vision to do what we're trying to do here. They basically continued our approach, I think more because there was a lack of their own alternative, but they've done less. Now, the Section 8 program was not a Democratic idea. The Section 8 program was actually a Republican idea started under Nixon. And what it said was, let's use the private market because public housing is a government-run system and it's no good. We'll use the private market system.
Just like the conservative philosophy on education vouchers, this is housing vouchers to make the market compete for the business of poor people.
By the way, there's another discussion on exactly that point. Let's look at the housing voucher experience historically, and we'll see what the possibility is for an education voucher. But that's a different discussion. But the housing voucher was exactly that.
Well, maybe that's the same discussion, because it gets to whether you think the housing voucher experience has been positive or negative.
Yeah, but let me just say this on that before we get into the weeds on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
It is inarguable, even a couple of weeks before the election, but that the need for affordable housing greatly outpaces the resources, and this administration has proposed a $1.6 billion cut, which would require families either to pay more or less families housed or housing authorities that administer these programs to come up with pull rabbits out of the hat. Why has the program gone up? Because the rent has gone up. The economy has done better, rents have increased, and the cost has gone up.
So if they're paying
I'm
a
sure
third...
the administration would be glad to hear the former secretary saying the economy is doing better.
Well,
the housing market is doing better.
The housing market, the rents have gone up, doctor. And, you know, you can argue, is that a good or a bad thing? But it has made the affordability gap worse. The need has gone up. And all they've done is cut the amount of money. Now,
the New York Times has reported that in 90% of housing markets in this country, rents are going down. Don't extrapolate from the Upper West Side Manhattan experience.
But I want to keep
going up in Buffalo.
But I want to keep this local, because here in New York City, the administration's position was that rents were in fact going down, and so they could cut that value of a voucher to reflect decreasing rents for poor people in New York City.
Well, as I said, there are a lot of markets in New York.
Is that a defensible position?
And the South Bronx and the Mid Bronx is not the same market as Park Slope. And literally, I have spoken to a number of property owners, big property owners getting million-dollar checks each month, and they've told me 15% premium for Section 8. So HUD is actually managing this program well, and they're getting the money away from the landlords and toward poor people.
So, Andrew Cuomo, fair point?
No. No. The doctor actually has a different point than this administration, I believe. The doctor actually has a sound policy critique on how Section 8 could be better used. And we could argue about his policy ideas, but he has a policy approach. That's not what this administration is saying. They're saying it's too expensive. We don't want to fund it anymore. And we want to block grant it to the states, and we want to cut the funding back because it's too expensive, and this is not a priority for us. So we're going to cut $1.6 billion from a program. And the high-cost areas, like New York City, like a Boston, like a Chicago, like an L.A., unless you're going to do some biblical version of loaves and fishes, it's not going to work. And
we have to take a break.
Policy idea.
For a minute, then we'll look forward as to what Bush and Kerry propose to do next on housing on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our presidential election series, 30 issues in 30 days, issue 17, the mortgage and the rent. We'll get back to it in just a second, but some of the mail that came in on yesterday's segment on who would be the better president for New Jersey, a lot of that discussion was on whether pharmaceutical companies should have to negotiate with the Medicare program. And on that issue, we got a lot of mail. One person wrote, "Don't they know that the reason drug costs are low in Canada? It is the weight of the Canadian government negotiating with the individual pharmaceutical companies who compete to be part of their national health care, and that has brought the low prices." Another writer says, "Your pro-pharmaceutical company guest should be reminded of Dr. Marcia Angel's book, called The Truth About the Pharmaceutical Companies, How They Deceive Us and What to Do About It. In it, she shows how it is the U.S. government that has spearheaded new research, not the pharma companies. They just reap the profits. But another listener who agrees that Medicare should be able to negotiate price adds another issue. This person says New Jersey seems to have done better than most of the U.S. because they have gained jobs and therefore can't criticize as vociferously the pharmaceutical jobs that they still have. But this person writes, the medical establishment consumes almost 20% of the GNP. They have no incentive to control costs or lower costs, but eventually the well runs dry. Ask the many who file bankruptcy to discharge medical bills for services they think they can't live without. So it's a little reaction to yesterday's show. Now back to the mortgage and the rent as a campaign issue with former HUD Secretary Andrew Cuomo, who served under President Clinton, and Howard Husick, author of America's Trillion-Dollar Housing Mistake, The Failure of American Housing Policy, published by Ivan R.D. He's also at the website, the think tank, the Manhattan Institute. Looking at both of their websites, Professor Husick, the president is placing housing policy as part of his so-called ownership society agenda, and his central proposals are helping low-income families buy homes with lower down payments and making it harder for banks to foreclose on low-income Americans. Senator Kerry lists a variety of bills that he has helped to shape, almost all of which deal with making the rental voucher system more efficient and more available. He did, he says, sponsor a bill so that people could borrow some money from their IRAs for a down payment on a home. But looking at this ownership society agenda, would this be radically different? Would this empower a lot of poor people to own rather than rent?
Well, I think that it is a symbolic start in a new direction. Let's look at the figures. We are at almost 70% home ownership rate in this country, and we have not had a drastic decline. In fact, we've had an increase during the administration, despite the recession. And so, the main housing indicator in this country is a very positive one. Now, as far as these two proposals, which are really, you have to call them pilot programs, the American Down Payment Initiative, American Dream Down Payment Initiative, and the 0% mortgage down payment for federally insured FHA loans, I would have to say candidly, you're not going to see a lot of people. I think it's a symbolic move which indicates where long-term, much like medical savings accounts, not a big move, but it's a long-term symbolic move about where this administration wants to head.
So Andrew Cuomo, you said that they haven't been doing much in housing policy, but this is what they are doing, or at least talking about. And in today's world, one could argue that the president's proposals are more progressive in this area. Why not emphasize getting poor people into home ownership?
Brian, I'll defer to the professor on this one. I think the president's initiatives are symbolic. You're not going to affect any significant number of Americans. It's good rhetoric. It's good rhetoric in a campaign, but it defies reality and it defies what he's done, frankly. First, one point to mention on the home ownership rate is up. The home ownership rate is up because the economy's in this market's doing well. Also, foreclosures are up. They're up 1.29%, four times what they were when the president took office. So the cruel dichotomy is you can buy a home, but foreclosures are way up because the economy on working families, middle class families, is squeezed and they can't pay the mortgage. And this zero down payment, even if you believe it's a good idea, which is arguable, is a de minimis proposal. What Kerry is talking about, what has to be done if you want to make a real difference, you have to do the Section 8 program on the rental side. You have to get creative with it. We tried to make the Section 8 rental voucher also pay a mortgage. So if you wanted to buy, you could use the Section 8 program to do that. But you have to.
That exists.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did.
The administration's expanded that.
Yeah. It's not working, in my opinion, Professor. I think we could do more on that. But you have to make those kinds of innovations in Section 8. You have to get Section 8 to the level that is close to meeting the need, even though we've never done it in this nation, we never will. And then on the home ownership side, one of the things you have to do is fight discrimination. The president cut the funding to fight discrimination.
What I don't understand on the Section 8, I agree with the former secretary that the big money is in Section 8, and that's really where the action is. You know, and the other programs are interesting, but just starting out. What I don't understand is candidate Kerry, Senator Kerry, was going to be a real new Democrat in the Clintonian tradition, and you accept the idea that we don't have enough to serve the whole need, to take the secretary's point, why not go for a five-year time limit on Section 8? Right now you've got people in New York, a lot of households in New York, average tenure in Section 8 housing in New York is 8 years. That's the median. A lot have been in there for 10 years and more. Why not go to a time limit and make Section 8 consonant with the welfare reform that President Clinton signed? I just don't get it. If there's such a great need, why not push? And the administration, to its credit, is starting to talk about graduating people from Section 8, using the block grant as performance bonus money to get public housing authorities to improve their report card on getting people out after 5 years. Let's use it as an up-and-out program. When you have an 8-year median, that's not acceptable. Of course, public housing median in New York is 18 years. Mm-hmm. That's not acceptable either. Yeah.
Professor, just again, your approach, I think, gives this administration too much credit. You have a policy backing for your position. They have a political backing for their position. They say turn Section 8 into a block grant because that's better. We have block grants, home programs, CDBG. They also cut the block grants. They're not doing this for a better, more informed, progressive policy. They don't want to pay the bill for these people in these places, period. I agree with you. We can make more innovations in the Section 8 program. I made plenty when I was there, as you know. But to say, well, we're going to time limit housing the way we time limited welfare, first of all, even on the welfare side, there was an out that the states and localities could make for hardship cases. And the same thing on the Section 8 side, Professor. Of course you don't want a dependent society. Of course you want to get people off the tax dole, and you want to say to them, this is a transitional program, Section 8. Go to get a job, get an education, get child care, but get out ultimately. Society is not supposed to pay your rent for life. That is the goal. This is a short-term program. But there are also families who are not going to be able to make it. And if you just said, well, time limit, you're out. Sorry, 2 years, 5 years, we tried, you're gone, you're homeless.
Well, that's not the argument that was made against any welfare reform, and we know that in the large part it's been a success. But sure, you can have some subtleties to the program. No problem with it. This is the first administration that has at least started to talk about performance-based bonuses, report cards for quote-unquote graduating from public housing. Now, if that isn't policy rhetoric, I don't know what is, because if you read what they've actually proposed to the Congress, heartily opposed by housing advocates, that's strong policy language.
Professor,
so I think you give them way too little credit to say this is just budget policy.
Professor, it's policy rhetoric. They've cut every program to do any of this, and not in the name of innovation.
The city's gone up $2 billion since they came into office, $2 billion. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, you want to talk in absolute dollars. Their budget this year, their proposed budget this year, is less than their budget last year. I call that a cut.
Point, it's flat.
All right.
Hang on, guys. Draconian cuts. You know, you give a misimpression by implying it's draconian cuts. The budget is way up on Section 8.
Here is where I'm going to jump in and move it along a little bit. And this is 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC. And it's our 30 Issues in 30 Days series, issue 17, the mortgage and the rent. This is about federal housing policy with the former HUD secretary under President Clinton, Andrew Cuomo, and Howard Husick, author of America's Trillion-Dollar Housing Mistake and a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And I want to shift it now from Bush to Kerry. And so, Andrew Cuomo, if you say that the Bush approach has been relatively do nothing and you wish it was as innovative as Howard Husick is giving them credit for, is there anything in the Kerry approach to housing policy that you can tout as new or innovative or forward-looking?
Yeah, Brian, on the Bush administration, what I say is they've had no new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They have no initiative in this area. Their plan was just cut everything and do less than we had been doing. I think John Kerry does have what the professor refers to as new democratic ideas. John Kerry, I had the good fortune of working with for 8 years when I was at HUD. and he was intimately involved in all of these programs. So as a threshold, for someone who knows what he's talking about in this area, it's not even close. John Kerry worked on these bills. He worked the programs. He was involved in the most obscure nuance in this area, saving affordable housing, what they call mark-to-market. So he knows this stuff and is interested in it intellectually, practically, in a way the president has never shown an interest. But he is also a quote-unquote new Democrat in that he says, I'm not just going to continue to do what we used to do. Let's find a better way to do it. And this Section 8 program, to go to that, because that's one of the programs that's really, the cuts are really hurting New York. Of course, John Kerry will say we're going to change the orientation of the program. It is a temporary transitional program. We stress work. We stress independence. Job training readiness, and getting people off the Section 8 program, also by the same token for public housing.
So are there any specific policies designed to accomplish that? Like we heard Professor Husek talking about these, you know, report cards and bonuses for graduating from Section 8 and things like that. How would John Kerry incentivize those people along?
Yeah, he believes in the same principles. We did that under Clinton. Brian, this is nothing new, but we did it positively, and we didn't do it punitively. We did not say, and by the way, if you're not successful, the family's out. And by the way, we're going to cut the resources so you can't come near to meeting the need, and we're going to stretch every dollar that you now have.
That's anyway. A bleak picture, but I don't know what program he's describing. You know, the block granting does not include a time limit. It includes incentives for housing authorities to encourage people through the Family Self-Sufficiency Program, which the former secretary initiated, to move up and out. But nobody has a time limit now. I might wish there was a time limit as Mr. Hard-hearted conservative, but there is no time limit now. There's an incentive to try to move people up and out. And again, we've gone from $5 billion for Section 8 in 1997 to $16 billion today. If it isn't time to take stock of that program, I don't know when it is. And John Kerry may believe the various things that Secretary Cuomo ascribes to him, but he's not talking about that.
Well, first of all, professors, you know, nobody's talking about this issue anyway. That's why God bless Brian for actually.
Right. Although I have to say, in fairness, President Bush is talking about this issue. He mentions it on the stump. He certainly mentioned it at the Republican convention.
Right.
He lists it, affordable home ownership for more poor people, as part of his ownership society agenda. When I look at Kerry's website on this, the first thing that comes up is John Kerry's housing record, and then it does indicate, as you said, that he's been involved in many of the bills that have had to do with housing over the years. So this seems to be one of his topics. What I don't see is proposals going forward that seem to specifically address the future.
Brian, when you talk about the president, though, he talks about the home ownership society, then talks about home ownership, the highest rate in history, which is true on one level. He neglects to mention you also have an increased foreclosure rate, so we take the American dream and we turn it into the American nightmare.
Well, he has the two specific proposals that I can tell.
Yeah,
one is
at least three by my count.
Okay.
By the way, zero down payment program for
right.
FHA, which they link to home ownership counseling, which I think is very important because you don't want to have those kind of foreclosures and defaults. Secretary is absolutely right. You've got $162 million, which was already appropriated last April 1st, for the American Dream Down Payment Initiative, which is going to be up to $10,000 grants for down payment assistance if people could stay in their homes for 10 years. And you've got this proposal, which I think is extraordinary, to increase the affordable housing goals. I thought Secretary Cuomo had raised them maybe beyond what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac could actually financially afford. He proposes, that is the administration, President Bush proposes, to raise them from 48% to 55%.
Okay, so I'm still trying to get to specific Kerry proposals here, Secretary Cuomo.
Kerry, first of all, would roll back a lot of the damage that the Bush administration has done. He would fund Section 8. He would fund HOPE 6, the reconstruction program for public housing. He would fund the 202 program, which is the senior housing, and he'd add more incremental additional Section 8 vouchers. He also would get back to the economic development side, which has been gone. The empowerment zone program, which was working. Republican concept, Jack Kemp, tax incentives for geographic areas, and he would start something called the National Affordable Housing Trust Fund Act, which would basically be a federal bank, a federal trust fund to subsidize the construction, mixed income construction of affordable rental housing.
We just have 2 minutes left, and we've talked mostly about policy regarding housing and the poor, and just very briefly about people in the middle class who may be benefiting from the recent spike if they already owned a home, but who are finding it harder to afford to buy if they hadn't. Over the long term, Secretary Cuomo, are we seeing a destructive kind of housing inflation that the government should play a role in controlling?
We are seeing the increase in home ownership rate is ostensibly good. Again, you then have to offset the foreclosure rate. But what the professor alluded to before and I did, and it gets technical, Brian, but you don't want to put people in home ownership who can't afford to make the down payments. And having to put, can't afford to pay the service the mortgage going forward. Mm-hmm. A down payment requires a certain amount of financial stability, which is not a bad thing when you look at the financial burden that the family's taking on. The second thing that's happening, which is frightening in some ways in this society, is we have taken out the equity from the homes that we own at an alarming rate.
To borrow against it.
Yeah, and see, we assume these very high values.
So everybody, just in 15 seconds, is there a government policy that should address any of this?
The homeownership programs should be responsible homeownership programs, so you don't put people in homes they can't afford, and we have to do a better job regulating the equity side mm-hmm. so people don't take out equity from a home that they don't have in the first place.
And Howard Husick, 30 seconds, same question.
Well, I think you do have to have education programs so people don't get duped by some of these subprime mortgage programs and into taking out big loans that they can't afford. So consumer education remains important. People still have to keep their eye on the ball, even if they're in a home, and not overextend themselves. But that's common sense, and I don't know that the government can protect them from themselves.
Howard Husick, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, is the author of America's Trillion-Dollar Housing Mistake, published by Ivan RD. Andrew Cuomo, the former Housing and Urban Development Secretary under President Clinton. Thank you both very much for doing this. I really appreciate a good discussion.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
That's today's edition of 30 Issues in 30 Days. For more information, including relevant links, visit our 30 Issues blog at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. To react to this segment, send email to BrianLehrerShow@WNYC.org. We'll read some of your mail on the air tomorrow, and we'll post some of it on the blog. The rest of this week's issues, tomorrow, outsourcing and free trade. Thursday, will the election be free and fair? Friday, a debate on taxing, spending, and the deficit between Paul Krugman and a Bush supporter yet to be named. I'm Brian Lehrer.